Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
How's your love life? We have somebody who can help, relationship therapist, coach, and someone who's been in the press on TV and radio, Jamie Bronstein, and back from California. Nice to have you. Well, it's home for you here, isn't it?
It is. I'm from here, and I'm back, and it's, like I was saying, it's been a little cold in general, but now it's the summer, so it's all good.
Well, let's start by something I talked about earlier this morning. You hear a lot about people getting the blues and being depressed around Christmas time, but I would think that any holiday where you're hearing a lot about family plans and there are all these activities, would people come see you and talk to you about that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, at holiday time, just being kind of feeling like left out.
Yes, it is very cliche that during holiday times, there's a lot of family issues when you're gathering and stuff. And a lot of times when people gather for family things, they're asked about the relationship situation. So that can be a lot of pressure, whether you're in a relationship or you're not. It just comes up, and there could be triggers in families. So yeah, I get a lot of calls during the holiday times.
Yeah, I was thinking more about people who are alone. Yes, when you get together with family, there are issues, but I guess even worse would be you have nothing to do, no one to do anything with.
Yeah, so for those people, I would say don't be in victim mode. Don't feel like, poor me, I have nothing to do, I have no one to see. Because the truth is, there always is someone. Reach out, even if there's one person in your life that you can spend time with. Maybe they'll invite you to their family thing, or you guys will go somewhere together, have lunch, dinner. Don't be in victim mode about being alone, because that also keeps you alone. So the more that you are more positive, the more that we can get out of the victim mode and being alone.
Well, worse than that, I think. Well, this is what makes this situation worse now than ever. Social media, because people post happy times, vacations, they're at a nice restaurant. I'm going to do my part today. I'm going to video an argument with my wife and post that. But nobody does that, right? It's always, and you look at that, and it's like everybody's having a good time but me.
And the thing is, people are talking about this. People talk about how people are only posting their perfect moments. So it is, people are aware of this. However, there's something in our brain, which is the negativity bias, that people still don't believe it. They'll still look at these pictures and think, well, they do have a perfect life.
The negativity bias? What's that exactly?
Yeah, so we as humans, we have a negativity bias. No matter what someone says to us, if we don't catch this, we will go towards the negative always. So we'll see something like this and we'll see, well, even though I know that they probably don't have a perfect life, I'm going to look at this picture and I'm just going to feel bad about my life anyway.
We were talking this week, and this has been written about a lot lately, these sleep divorces. Recent headline, the secret to sweet dreams may be not to sleep together. Are people really doing this? Is there anything to this?
People are doing this. And I always say, as long as you keep the intimacy alive, so you have to still be intentional about having sex, and you have that cuddle time, that bonding time together, it can work. Because if you think about it, when you're sleeping, you're not actually talking or doing anything. But if you could just stay together and spend as much time together before you go to sleep, then it could work. And on top of that, it's really important, because we know that if we don't get a lot of sleep, we can be irritable, we can be moody. It also affects our physical health, like hypertension and diabetes. So you want to have good sleep, very healthy sleep in your life and in your relationship to have a good relationship.
Is there a lot of this going on? A lot of going back to the Dick Van Dyke days of Rob and Laura sleeping in separate beds, Lucy and Ricky. Are people really doing that?
It's becoming more and more popular, I think, especially because it's becoming more talked about and acceptable.
With relationship therapist and author Jamie Bronstein, let's talk a little bit about dating apps. It seems like the stigma is completely gone. Everybody's using these apps, and some people have problems with them, though, don't they?
Yes. There's a lot of burnout these days, and there's a lot of issues with people not picking up on red flags. And so they end up in situations where they're on a date with someone who maybe doesn't look like they appear to look, or they have some questionable behavior. And so it makes people resent dating, and it makes people resent the dating apps. So this is happening all day, every day. I hear about it from my clients. And really what you need to do is you need to not extrapolate. You need to just say, okay, well, this is maybe one bad date or one bad red flag, but tomorrow's going to be a better day.
What would be an example of a red flag? What are we talking about here?
Well, there are some serious ones. Like, the serious ones are if someone wants you to get off the app right away, that could mean that they will be having some questionable behavior in the future, and then you can't report them. So you need to look out for that and use your intuition. But then there's more of just the, like I said, like if someone has hair in their picture and then they're bald on the date, or things like that.
So in other words, I should change my picture because I got my bar mitzvah picture up there now. Should I get rid of that?
Yes, but actually what's really cute, a lot of people do put a childhood picture on there. Yeah, I wouldn't say put that as your only picture, but, you know.
Of course, since I've been married, I don't date that much anymore. But you know, everybody I talk to who's single now, I really rarely hear about meeting people in person. I always hear about these dating apps. They're extremely popular, aren't they?
Yes, and I always recommend meet as soon as possible, because really what matters is that energy and that chemistry in person. You could spend hours on the phone, you could spend weeks, you could do this forever and think that you have this connection, and you do have a certain type of emotional connection. However, meeting in person is really where, that's how you know if mm-hmm. it's going to be something. So try to meet as soon as person. Try to meet as soon as possible in person.
And it's not just young people on these apps, is it?
No. Oh, my God. We live in a beautiful world, because there are so many older people that are on the apps that they come to me. I encourage them to get on the apps. And you know what? Unless you're dead, and even when you're dead, there's love in the afterlife. Whatever. Separate topic. Love is alive. My Nana, she died at 98. She had a boyfriend starting at 80-something. He died at 103. So
nice.
Love, you know, you're never too old for love.
Let's talk about something that I saw recently. People were talking about their contacts on their phones and how they handle meeting people, and then whether they put them in the contact list. What's this all about?
Yeah, so I think it's really cute. When you first meet somebody, a lot of people will put in their phone Tom Hinge or Jerry Starbucks. So it reminds them, just in case they have other contacts in their phone, of who this person is. And then once the relationship starts and they get upgraded, so it might be just Tom, period. You know, just Tom, not Tom Hinge or Tom Bumble or Tom Starbucks. So it is a cute thing. In my marriage, my husband at one point was Hottie Hot Hot Hubs.
Nice.
And then once he became a dad, he was Data.
Mm-hmm.
So he's changed.
Yeah.
At first, he was just Brian. However, there was a problem because he's Brian with a Y, and there was a guy I dated that was Brian with a Y. And at one point, long story, we'll talk about next time, there was an issue where I texted the wrong Brian. So make sure that you put like an initial after their name or something like that.
Hey, you know, I think that dating, especially when you're talking about young people now, is easier than it used to be, because it used to be so traumatic. You'd have to call, and maybe a mom or a dad would answer the phone, so you'd have to get through that to get to who you wanted to go out with. Then you'd pick somebody up at their house, maybe, and have to, you know, go inside, meet the parents. It seems like it's easier now, is it?
Yes, it's also not as safe. I love that idea, the nostalgia of the olden days where the parents would need to meet who you're going out with, because then the person, let's say it's guy, like the guy would be more accountable to be nice to this girl. Now, the reason why there are so many scary things out there is because people are just meeting willy-nilly, and sometimes I always recommend tell somebody where you're going on the date to make sure that someone knows where you are, because there isn't that old school meeting of the parents and courting. I miss the courting. Can we bring the courting back?
Let's work on that. And when you get into a fight with your husband, will he say, Yeah, you're supposed to be the coach and expert and relationship guru. You should know better. Does he bring that up?
No, because he's a nice person. However, it's been very helpful because I'll say, you know what? Let's just stop fighting because we're not even, whatever we're fighting about, there's a deeper issue. Let's go on to the deeper issue. And it helps. I think it helps with the fact that I am a relationship therapist.
Looking at our text line here, I mentioned that I have to give a speech for my stepdaughter's wedding. And this is good. Bob, refer to the bride-to-be as your bonus daughter. Much warmer and sweeter than stepdaughter. That's good. You have any advice for me on the speech?
I agree with the bonus daughter thing. I think that's very nice. Speech. Speak from your heart. Be authentic. I mean, you speak for a living, so you don't really have a problem with that. I would just say, for you, you don't need to plan too much out. You know, maybe make some bullets, but I can see you being that guy who's just going to get up there and if you speak from your heart, it'll mm-hmm. be beautiful. Maybe sing a song.
Well, that's not going to happen. Next time, we need to focus more on marriage, I think.
Great.
Because I have many questions about this. And the longer I'm married, I hope the wiser I get about this. And I think it comes down, and tell me if you agree with this, and we'll pick up on it next time. But isn't it really about willpower? You know what I'm saying here?
I love that you're saying that, because I always say that both people need to be willing to make it work. And to make it work. And there's so many ingredients. Like, you need to have fun, you need to be connected, you need to be intentional, which a lot of people forget about. You need to go on dates.
Yeah, what is the slogan, you'll remember this, that men want their wives to be the same as they were when they first dated?
Yes.
But women
want their guys to change.
Yeah.
Yes, it is very cliche, and we can talk about that because ideally, you marry someone and you love them for everything that they are. Of course, with their little, like, craziness and stuff.
Yeah.
But you don't want them to change. And that is huge because that means that there's judgment. And we want no judgment in any marriage.
Thank you, Jamie Bronstein. See you again soon, I hope.
Thank you.